This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Kelly Kelly Show. Kelly is an award-winning photographer and the owner of the website iloveclearwater.com. Doug is the author of four published books and a contributing editor for Florida Sportsman magazine. And now, here they are.
All righty then. You know, some of us who are really big sports fans, once the Super Bowl is over, you almost have like a thud. I mean, I know there's baseball and there's basketball and soccer and golf and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the true dyed-in-the-wool football fans sort of feel a lag until the games start again. However, it is the political season. And that's kind of a ball to throw up and down in a way, too, you know. But it is an interesting because on March 19th we have an election, and it is a presidential primary. There's not a lot happening because Biden really doesn't have opposition, and neither does Trump. So there's not going to be a huge get-out-the-vote push by a lot of people. However, there will still be a lot of people going to the polls, and in many municipalities like Clearwater, there are local elections, if you will, going on, and that's exactly what's happening here in Clearwater, where we're based at the jewel-encrusted studio of WTAN. And we're also here today with my lovely co-host and wife and better 7/8 and all those things, Kelly Kelly.
Awesome. Thanks for that intro.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
We're also here with Big Ed Davis, the executive producer of the Tan Talk Radio Network. And we're going to get back to him in a minute, but I think he's otherwise disposed.
Mm-mm.
No, he's not.
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe he can talk about the opening day with the Phillies. Do you follow baseball, Ed?
Begrudgingly?
No.
Okay, well, all right. That's talk about
well,
a thud.
You know that thud you talk about.
That's, yeah, that's the thud right there.
No, well, actually, there's part two of that because there's a period of time that you have to avoid your better half because that's the time that she wants painting and all that other stuff done. So you kind of avoid those. Because, well, you have Sundays off now. No, I don't.
Honeydew projects.
Yeah.
I hear you.
But,
of course.
No, baseball, you know, I can't get into it because the Rays aren't here.
Yeah.
They're down there.
Fort Myers,
you know?
Right?
Maybe it'd be nice if we had an outdoor place like you know, in Clearwater. I mean, that's, you know, what is it called now? Bay Care Park?
Yeah.
We have the Phillies.
Yeah.
Spring training.
I know, but those are the enemies, you know.
I see. They're their enemy. Oh, okay.
We're not getting any answers from those guys.
I have to tell you.
Yeah. That was Big Ed Davis.
One of the best times I've ever had at a ball game was at the minor league games. It was so much to do, you know, watching those games in the seats.
The Threshers.
The games and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it is kind of a strange tangent, you might say, here in Clearwater, because in Dunedin, they've got the Blue Jays right across the border, you might say. And then here we have the Phillies, but we also, are we going to root for the Phillies or the Tampa Bay Rays? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to sort of handle both.
Right.
Because certainly
the
Phillies.
Do you remember Boardwalk in Baseball?
Yes.
Yes.
In Disney? Yes.
It was up there, near Claremont or something.
Yeah.
That was an amusement park for baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played baseball as a kid. I was in Little League and Midget League even, and I loved it. I was a pitcher and a catcher.
I was a catcher as well in
softball. That's right, in softball.
That's what
very good.
Messed up my knees. So.
In fact, I have a logo I'll show you after the show that we have that WTAN used to broadcast the Phillies games.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, all the preseason games.
But we do have the minority club, like you said, the Threshers.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've been to some of those games, and it's kind of fun going out to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And I have been to some Rays games, too, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
It's more for if you have kids, and I think our guests would know that.
Yeah,
that's right.
I agree for sure.
Yep. Well, that's why I brought up politics. So we are going to be talking with our first guest, and actually our only guest today.
Yeah.
Because he's a candidate for one of the three seats that are up for grabs out of five that are on the council in the Clearwater. So we'll be doing that pretty soon.
Yep.
And chatting about a few other things, too. We got some fun stuff to talk about today, so stick with us. And we're going to be back with you in just a few minutes, so hang in there.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Do you know what a truly special blog is? It's a website that's rated as one of the best in Florida, chock full of fantastic articles, humor, videos, and hundreds of cool pictures. So what blog is creating all that buzz? It's ColorfulClearwater.com, a blog on the internet created by Kelly Kelly. ColorfulClearwater.com is gaining in popularity every day due to its original writing and original videos and photography. It's updated several times per week with fresh content and includes everything about the color, culture, and vibrancy of Clearwater citizens and businesses. Even though it covers just one city in Florida, ColorfulClearwater.com nonetheless is already outperforming blogs promoting tourist destinations and major sports teams. Hey, see for yourself. Give a visit to ColorfulClearwater.com and make it your source of enlightening, insights, and entertainment. That's ColorfulClearwater.com.
These days, amidst supply chain issues, staffing crises, and rising energy bills, it's not easy to be a successful entrepreneur in Clearwater. For many, financial fears have led to sleepless nights. On top of that, many more have employees and customers that they're trying to protect and reassure, a monumental task when they themselves are struggling with burnout. We're all experiencing a lot of intense emotions. So where can you find safe harbor? At Amplify Clearwater. Amplify Clearwater is your chamber of commerce, and the name says it all. To make Clearwater larger, greater, stronger. Here you'll find like-minded members who are seeking opportunities to learn from each other, to collaborate, network, support, and do business together. Every business owner's goal in 2022 is to grow their business. If you need help, your friends at Amplify Clearwater are here for you. Submit your application today at amplifyclearwater.com/join.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Kelly Kelly. I'm here with Doug Kelly, my co-host.
Hey.
And my, I guess you've got the beauty and I've got the brains.
Yeah,
wouldn't
right.
You say that?
Might be backwards, but yes.
Okay, so we are here with our first and only guest, Ryan Cotton. He is a fireman, and he's also running for Clearwater City Council seat 2. Did I get that correct?
You did,
that's
yes.
Correct. And let me just clarify before you start, for those who do not live in Clearwater, it's very similar in many other municipalities too, but Clearwater has a manager mayor type of format rather than a strong mayor. There's usually two types.
That's true. What does that mean, Doug?
Well, basically it means each of the five council members has an equal amount of power, you might say, mm-hmm. or authority. Except, strangely, with this type of thing, the mayor cannot make a motion, and he or she cannot second a motion.
So he actually has, or she, has less power.
No, because the mayor also kind of sets the tone of the agenda.
Okay.
So they can kind of not bring up their pet project, but they can concentrate and focus on different areas. And certainly it's an important position, too.
Okay.
But anyway, there's five council members, and there's three seats up for grabs in this mm-hmm. election on March 19th, and that is the mayor position.
Seat one.
Seat two is the gentleman with us we're going to introduce right now. And then there's going to be Seat three.
Right.
So that's it.
And okay. So, Ryan, welcome to the Kelly Kelly Show.
Yeah. Thank you all for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All this talk about seats is getting me stirred up.
You're very garrulous today. I don't know.
I am.
All right.
So,
well,
it's great to have you with us. And is this your first shot at throwing your hat in the ring to run?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yes. I have never looked to seek any political office yet. And this is the first time.
Very good. You're going to get some arrows in your back.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that just comes with the territory.
Yep.
So get ready to be misunderstood, misquoted, disliked by some. But you'll also have the opposite side of the coin. You'll have rabid fans, cheerleaders clawing at your car door, et cetera, et cetera.
Just like you, Doug.
There's an upside and a downside. Listen, seriously, tell us a little bit about yourself for those who haven't met you yet.
Absolutely. So I'm 36 years old.
Happy birthday, by the way. You just turned 36 last Monday.
I did. This is correct.
Yep. And his name is Ryan Cotton. Mm-hmm. We did fail to mention that.
Yes. So my name is Ryan Cotton. I'm mm-hmm. a 36-year-old second-generation Clearwater native.
All right.
So I was born in Morton Plant, grew up in the countryside area, which is North Clearwater for those people who aren't familiar with Clearwater listeners. Going into my 15th year as a captain paramedic now. I started as a firefighter paramedic with the Lilman Fire District in North St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. 54th Avenue North is the main artery from the interstate to Park Street. And then we also service Tierra Verde. So got a little bit of a split area, but mm-hmm. it's been very rewarding. Started there as a firefighter paramedic, was promoted to lieutenant paramedic, and now I'm the staff officer there, and it's been extremely rewarding. So
fantastic. Well, yeah. I mean, what can you say about firefighters? They're they're law enforcement in a way too. Just saving lives; it's protecting people's property.
That's it. The first responder community, a very tight knit. It really is a second family, and it's been a wonderful career. And growing those relationships with those guys and girls that work down in my area, for sure.
I'm interested in knowing what you do day to day. Do you get out and fight the fires?
So, I'll tell you, yes, I still do. And that's what's been something that drew me to that industry, right? Because you still have the typical call that could come in. However, it's different because each person's different and each scenario is different. So it's that changing environment. But my position now, I still am on a truck, so I work 24 hours on. I have 48 hours off.
Mm. Wow.
Fortunate enough to have what we call a NS, or no shift day. So every 6 weeks, I essentially have a paid day off, try and recoup some of the sleep that's been missing or whatnot, mm-hmm. and just spend time with the family and do our extracurriculars. Some of us run for political office, so we'll see how that goes, yeah.
That's wonderful.
What do you say to those that say, hey, you already have a full-time job, and how are you going to have time to be a council person, too?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something, before I got into this, you count the cost. Mm-hmm. You know, prayed about it, talked with my wife about it. Once we felt confident in it, that's when I went and spoke to my fire chief about it. And as I just alluded to, I have a great schedule. A lot of firemen that you may or may not know have second jobs outside of the department because our schedule is so great. So having that full day on, and then having full 2 days off, followed by, with me, not every department has a Kelly or NS day, mm-hmm. Having that 6 weeks where we have a pay day off is great. And then the department that I work for, it's a state special fire district, so we have our own elected board of commissioners. And I say that because a lot of municipalities have 14 days of vacation. use it or lose it type of a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough to where we don't have that. We accrue hours every month, and we have a bank. So if I do need a day off, I'm able to take a few hours here, a few hours there. So it's been very fortunate, or I am very fortunate to have the time, being 36 and still have a full-time career to devote to my fellow residents here in Clearwater and try and get this city going and being the best that it can be.
Perfect.
Well, very good. Well, so were you born and raised here in Clearwater?
I sure was. So again, in Countryside area, went to Little League up at Misty Springs, where we just, you know, they just had their kickoff for baseball season this past weekend. And that those were kind of my stopping grounds, you know. I went to Lila Davis Elementary School up there, Safety Harbor Middle, because that's what I was zoned for. We don't really have a Clearwater middle school up that way. And then started at Countryside High School for 2 weeks. Until my dad bribed me to go to Calvary Christian High School. And I say bribe, but, you know, he said, hey, if you do good, I'll pay you $1,000 a semester. Ended up doing good, and he never paid, you know. But
you bet.
Being a parent now, I see where he paid. So he definitely he was definitely good on the promise.
And Calvary is a great high school.
Loved it, you know.
Excellent.
And I started, I was graduating class of 06, so we started when the building was still downtown, and I was the first graduating class out of the new campus, Drew Street, up there in McMullen Booth.
Very good.
Awesome. And you go to church?
Yes, so was originally going to Calvary, and then when I went to school over in Orlando, Valencia Community College, with my friends who went to UCF, you know, I was fortunate enough to have bright futures when I graduated high school. So, the community college, I think it's a college now, kind of like SPC was at one point, you know, the college over there now was 100% for my general education classes. So the parents asked me to go do that, and, you know, I did, since the state was able to award me with that. And it was, that's kind of where, you know, you sit there.
My son was on the, that same Bright Futures.
Awesome.
Which was nice. I think you have to maintain a at least a 3.0.
There was the
average.
Different, yeah, there were the different steps in it. If you had the 3.0 to 3.5, it would pay a certain percentage, and I think it's changed even since I went to
probably.
So the rules have even changed then, or if you had a 4.0, you got like 100% no matter where you went. So
I would have had to pay based on my,
That's not true, Doug.
I know it's not.
That's not true. You got a golf scholarship.
That's true. I went, I went to college on a golf scholarship, of all things.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so you got married. Tell us about your family.
That's it. So, yep, I was met Jenny in high school and turned into
high school
sweetheart.
How about
that? So she ended up going to Florida State, though.
Oh, no.
While I was
at
UCF.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's the end of this interview.
Yeah, there we go. We're done. So she was. She went to Florida State. I was going to the Valencia or UCF area with my buddies. So we had a little bit of a long-distance relationship in between that. But then after graduating, you know, obviously both moved back to our area down here. That's who would, in my opinion, who would want to leave Clearwater? You live in a vacation destination,
right.
You know. People from all over the world literally book a vacation to come to our beaches. So I never intended on ever leaving. You know, you got some people that just want to fly the nest and get the new experiences.
Sure.
My thought was, you just vacation to those areas and get it for a little bit and then come back to our wonderful piece of paradise down here.
Absolutely.
So, like I said, we started dating. And I made goals. I'll tell you, you know, my mother-in-law, bless her heart, she was very, what's the good word? Strict, if you will. Not strict, but had, she cared about her daughter, right? Just like anybody.
Right, right. Protective.
Very protective. That's
right.
A good word.
Right.
So when I went to ask for her hand, I talked to her dad, got the yes, but I also knew that Mary Helen would appreciate me going to her. Mm-hmm. And when I went to her, she worked as a school guidance counselor, and I called her around lunchtime. She said, "No problem, Ryan. What do you need to talk about?" And I said, "Oh, well, I'll just wait. I'll be there in a little bit."
Nothing important.
Oh, and she knew what was coming.
So
she brings me in to her conference room, and she has all of her office ladies sitting at one side of the table, and then there's the head of the table with her open seat. And I said, "Okay, I guess this is how that's going to go." So I walked to the other head of the table and sat down, and I tell you what, instead of the pressure I thought she thought it was going to be. Her friends started crying, saying, "This is beautiful. This is great. You're gaining a son, not losing a daughter." And she started, "That's not what's happening." You know, so it was. It worked out great. But you know what? The in-laws are awesome. My whole family is here, so it's so great to have that support network, especially having my two little ones that I have, an 8-year-old little boy, 6-year-old little girl, you know, seeing the cousins and aunts and grandparents. So not to mention when Jenny and I need a reprieve and a date night, we always have a built-in babysitter.
You can't beat that. You can't beat that.
And what you were telling us on break that your two kids are in sports.
That they are, yep. So Charlotte, she's just started her competitive cheerleading, and she's eating it up. You know, that's something that three younger sisters, they all did it when they were growing up, and my mom was like, "Let's get her in it," because she could see that she liked the dancing, liked the singing, typical little girl things, and then trying to do the cartwheels and all the whole nine yards. So the competitive cheerleading is what she took off, and she's loving it.
It's gymnastics, really.
Essentially, especially, I tell you what, some of these girls, not even six in high school.
Amazing.
They're flying through the air, doing the flips, and it's mesmerizing, honestly.
It is.
And then my son, he is in jiu-jitsu, so learning some good mixed martial arts and some discipline, and he's loving it as well. So
don't mess with him.
No, that's right.
He can take care of himself, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to protect his sister being a cheerleader.
There you go.
Big thing.
That's true, too.
Yep.
That's true, too. And so what does Jenny do?
So Jenny is a student... Director of Student Support for Skycrest Christian School. She actually started as a history teacher with the public school system, and then went back to get her second bachelor's degree and master's degree in speech and language pathology, then worked for the school system for a few years as that, and then afterwards she had the opportunity to move over to Skycrest, and she did, and it's been great ever since, and she's really loved it. It's a good support system that Skycrest has there, wonderful faculty and staff, and that's where the kids go too. So it's easy to pack everybody up and go to the same place and come home and get the day going.
When I lived in the Florida Keys, my two kids, I had a son and a daughter, they attended Island Christian School.
Very good.
And then Kelly has a background too. Tell us about college.
I was in Christian schools starting at seventh grade, goodness, and all the way up through Clearwater Christian College, which no longer exists.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's great. All right, so, you know, you've set your sights on taking a shot at becoming a council member, and I think, Ed, we're going to go to a short break here, but we're going to do that, and then we're going to come back and talk about your path here in your new venture, and hopefully it... it's successful.
Awesome. Look forward to it.
Cool. We'll be back in a few. Stick with us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Do you know what a truly special blog is? It's a website that's rated as one of the best in Florida, chock full of fantastic articles, humor, videos, and hundreds of cool pictures. So what blog is creating all that buzz? It's ColorfulClearwater.com, a blog on the internet created by Kelly Kelly. ColorfulClearwater.com is gaining in popularity every day due to its original writing and original videos and photography. It's updated several times per week with fresh content and includes everything about the color, culture, and vibrancy of Clearwater's citizens and businesses. Even though it covers just one city in Florida, ColorfulClearwater.com nonetheless is already outperforming blogs promoting tourist destinations and major sports teams. Hey, see for yourself. Give a visit to ColorfulClearwater.com and make it your source of enlightening, insights, and entertainment. That's ColorfulClearwater.com.
Ask any successful entrepreneur. They'll tell you that the fundamental way to grow a business is through strategic connections. Relationships drive business. Forming a solid network of reliable contacts is essential to your growth. And there's no better way to get connected in Clearwater than through membership in Amplify Clearwater, your Chamber of Commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater is your first level of support. Membership affords you the opportunity to meet like-minded business owners you otherwise wouldn't have met. You'll be able to collaborate, network, support, bond, and do business with each other. Interested? Then visit AmplifyClearwater.com. There you'll find all the information you need to make an informed decision and start the membership application process. Amplify Clearwater. One community, one chamber, one vision. Join today at AmplifyClearwater.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, thank you for being with us on the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Doug Kelly. We're here with my better half, Kelly Kelly, and Big Ed Davis. And we've been talking with our guest today. And Ryan Cotton is a real bright young fellow. He's a firefighter, and he's running for seat 2 in the Clearwater election. And also, one thing we needed to clear up, too, is before we... when we did go to the break, you were going to tell us a little bit more about your educational background.
Yes, that's right. So I went to Valencia Community College after graduating from Calvary Christian High School. And just like any kid, you know, you start your general education classes, don't really know what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's when I came out, driving home back to the apartment I was staying with the buddies, and saw a fire engine go by, you know, lights and sirens. And I said, you know what, that'd be cool. I want to look and see what they do, you mm-hmm. know. Calvary, at the time when I went there, had this thing before spring break. It was called mini-mester, and you'd be able to go and shadow somebody in their professional career, mm-hmm. see if you liked what they did, and kind of get that experience. So it was very unique at the time, and got to go with, you know, insurance people, attorneys, all those different great things, mm-hmm. and I realized that it was... There's different fun aspects of it, for sure. Don't get me wrong. But I liked the changing environments of things. So when I saw that fire engine go by, I was like, I wonder what they do and what their benefits are. Probably more than what the normal kid thinks about, honestly. And jumped on Google and found out that, you know, starting firefighter paramedic was making almost double what a four-year university graduate was making at the time. Wow. I had a buddy who graduated University of Florida and was making roughly $25,000 with the 401k in here. Firefighter paramedic in Orange County at the time was making $46,000 with benefits and different things like that. And I said, Well, man, and not to mention continuing education classes. So that's when I called the parents and asked them what they thought about me doing it. They were extremely supportive and loved it. And then that next semester, I enrolled in EMT school, paramedic school, came home, got a job with Sunstar, and went to fire academy. So... it was very fortunate to do that, but then through the fire department, I've been blessed. They've been very, our fire chief and our board are very pro-education. So I was able to complete my bachelor's degree through the fire department in fire administration, and currently finishing a master's degree for public administration.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. And those modern fire trucks, gosh, they must cost $40,000-$50,000.
Yeah,
for each
exactly,
wheel.
Exactly, right?
That's for each
it.
Wheel.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say, man, most of them are above $500,000 easy.
Sure,
yeah.
Wow. Sure. Some of them over a million.
Oh, yes, especially if you got a ladder. The ladder trucks, they're definitely over a million.
Wow,
sure.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say, is there like an exciting story you can tell us? Like maybe you were in danger or an exciting rescue you performed? Anything that you can tell us like that?
Yeah, without mentioning
names. Absolutely. There's medical calls and things like that. That's the HIPAA violations. But obviously, you know, those aren't usually the exciting stories. But, you know, things that pop out to me is we just recently had a home that was up in flames. It was, you know, midnight, 2 a.m. And it's one of those things where you always kind of have to have your head on a swivel, you know? So we were the first arriving suppression unit.
Yes, yes.
And we started trying to put the fire out. And unfortunately, this family, you know, one of their teenagers was still awake and had something going in the back bedroom and then left to go get Taco Bell or something, some type of fast food. I want to say it was Taco Bell. And when he did that, something overheated in his room caught his back bedroom on fire. And when he did, the whole back of the house was just engulfed in flames.
Wow.
That's got to be so traumatic.
Oh, for sure, especially for the family, you know. But the main thing is when we first get there, especially officers, is making sure that nobody's inside. And, you know, most times people will come up to you and they'll say, how many people are inside? And then you'll give a response and they'll look at you, the officer, and say, how many humans? Because, you know, people will say, oh, my babies are in there. Or
dog.
You know, and they'll consider their pets their babies. Mm-hmm. So it's very important for us to be specific.
Sure.
Luckily, everybody was out of the house at the time, but the power line had dropped, and it was sparking in the backyard, and I had noticed it. So making sure that the firefighters knew that wasn't there, so you don't get zapped by that while it's, you know, back in the backyard, arcing and moving around. So it's just one of those things, you know. You're able to help people, try and preserve property if able. And that was just one of the most recent ones that I can think of off the top of my head. But, you know, there's certain things like that that happen every day in these. Guys and girls are going out there risking
every
their
day.
Lives, and I know that they love doing it, you know, and taking care of the public. So,
you know, I think kids growing up, they have certain vocations that they imagine. Some are out there like being a treasure hunter.
Yeah.
Some are to be a police officer. Some are to be an astronaut. But a lot of young people, male and female now, are talking about being a firefighter, and they have a great deal of respect from just
they
about
do.
Everybody. And
it's a hard job, isn't it, Ryan?
It does, yeah. There's, you know, stuff that we see and do that people will never have to see and do, and that's good, you know, and I think that people understand that, and those that get into the environment are at least hopefully informed. I know anybody that ever comes to me showing interest, that they're well aware of that and that they can stomach it. And, you know, a lot of people on the mental health side of things, too, can have issues with it, so to make sure that they can handle that before maybe getting into it.
Because it can get morbid, I'm sure.
It 100% can, for sure.
Do you have to carry people?
I have not had my own rescue yet, so and I hope that I don't, because then that means people are safe.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that's always our first priority. If there's a fire or anything like that, we definitely are there for life safety first before the property preservation.
What are you spraying? Is it pure water, or is it some sort of a chemical substance?
So it is all water. Once we get to a point where we put foam on it, then we can add a Class A or a Class B type of a foam, depending on whether or not
smother
it's a gasoline or something. And you're trying to smother that product so that you're keeping the vapors from rising. You're essentially creating a barrier.
Yes, Ed?
Perfect time to ask this question, because I've always wondered this, and then we had that horrible thing that happened with Maui. Can salt water be used in a fire?
Yes, it sure can. We also service Tierra Verde. We have a portable pump that we can throw right into the water and just dump it on.
Oh.
Yep.
Good question.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
It will destroy your pump, so you got to flush it afterwards.
Oh.
You know, salt water just
like... At
least
the fire's out, though.
That's it. Amen.
Infinite supply of water.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Are some people kind of lose their minds and they want to run into a raging fire to get their cat or dog?
Yes. So
do you have to restrain them?
So the first fire I ever had, 14 years ago, I remember it, Christmas Eve. It was in the kitchen. Grease fire started the cabinets. You could not see your hand in front of your face.
Wow.
And I remember my lieutenant at the time, he literally took me because I couldn't see it. He just walked right in. And then I'm the one with the nozzle, and I'm like, well, I'm going to be safer than him. So I followed him in and finally hit him, And then he goes, it's right there. And I said, I can't see it. So he took me and he literally threw me. And I hit the cabinets. And then sure enough, there's the glow. And we put the fire out. But during that time, the crew members outside, the homeowner was trying to come back in to save his macaw that was in the house. Lord. And, you know, unfortunately, the macaw didn't make it. But people don't think it's not necessarily the flames that get you. It's the smoke that you succumb to, and then you become unconscious. And
now, as a tree, you try to get as low to the ground as possible.
100%.
If you try to crawl out.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get below that smoke layer. Mm-hmm. So, or the thermal layering where it's too hot and those byproducts are trying to stay where that oxygen is to get out. Yep.
I got to tell you, the one grease fire that I had was very, very young, and I was cooking, and I wanted to make fried chicken, and I thought that you had to bring the oil to a boil, like you did when you boil water. And it never got to a boil. All it started to do was smoke. And then when I put a little piece of chicken in, the thing caught fire. So I just grabbed the pan and threw it out the back door, and I had this fireball.
Oh, my gosh.
But luckily, I was able to get it out the door.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I always thought that you had to boil the oil before you put the chicken in.
I did, too.
Well, I wouldn't know. I mean, don't they put French fries in boiling oil?
No, that's not boiling. It's not a boiling point, no.
Okay.
It's just heated, yeah.
Well, let's switch gears here. Now, you're running for
seat two
in the city council. Why did you decide to run?
So that's a great question. You know, I think that a lot of people have had their frustrations probably since the end of COVID. I know that I've had my own little frustrations. And then there's a lot of little things, you know, that just add up over time, especially on the local level, that you get a little upset with, right? And you're always thinking, well, you know, somebody should change that. Somebody should do something about this. Somebody should do something about that. And I guess the icing on the cake for me was that me and Jenny moved to our new our home that we purchased about 2 years ago now. And we had a little bit of extra equity left over because I usually do all the work myself, you know, to try and save money and just get things done efficiently. But I was going to splurge, and I was going to have an existing fence that was already there redone. I had to call 7 fence companies. And after the 4th one, I finally asked. I said, what is the deal? Why are you telling me no? And number one was they're too busy. So great for them for being busy, and maybe that's what the others were too. And then the second one was, we don't want to do business in the city of Clearwater.
Red tape, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And that was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I have heard that for years. And you know what? There's people that have great experiences, but the vast majority that I hear are bad experiences. And it seems like there's got to be something. You know, you've already alluded to it. The council is a policy legislative group, and we hold the city manager accountable. So to make sure that Jennifer is staying on her directors to make sure that things are efficient and productive.
Jennifer being Jennifer Poirier.
Yes, the city manager.
Right.
Yep, sorry.
It's okay.
So making sure she's staying on the directors to try and make sure we're being productive, efficient, streamlining things. And not that the city is coming in with the ruler to smack your hand because you're doing something wrong, but rather coming alongside its residents and its businesses and showing them how to do it, to partner with them and be like, hey, your plans look good. This is what you got to do. Get these things accomplished. Not coming out there already ready to put the red tape out there and charge our residents more for something. Exactly. Or it causes them to try and not pull permits or do something, you know.
So what is the reason? Because I've, over the past 38 years, had the same issue with my fence, my shed, my windows. Same issue. Had to call a bunch of people. What department is responsible? Why isn't that changing?
So I will be honest with you. It does seem like, because I did have a meeting with the director who's in charge of that, the codes and planning and all that type of stuff. And the unfortunate part of Clearwater is there is that balance of not having enough people to get jobs done. And she is currently at a deficit of, I think, 12 individuals.
I see.
Now, that doesn't mean that you need to fill all 12 to start being productive and efficient. However, I do believe there probably is a burden on them.
It's a huge issue.
Oh, 100% is.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to be competitive also with other areas. You know, one of my things growing up, I'm the first one in my family to ever work for government. Aside from my grandfather's military service, my grandfather started a home decor products business back in the mid-70s in Tarpon Springs, selling those products to Walmart and Sam's Club. And then he's also owned land throughout Pinellas County and Pasco County. One time owned the Capitol Theater, so that was pretty cool. And then my father took that over. So I grew up under them, you know, their leadership styles, the how to run a business, manage a business, be profitable, take care of your employees. And it almost comes down to that Richard Branson type of a thing. You train your employees well enough to where they can leave, but you treat them well enough to where they want to stay.
Yep, yep.
So I think that the city has to get to that point to where we retain people and it doesn't become
a spinning cost. Well, they are increasing salaries.
They did just get the study back that their salaries were increasing.
Try to keep people from jumping.
But salaries aren't only the only issue.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. Sure.
I know that.
Yeah, and I think it comes to the directors, too, and how they set things up.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of bad history with people. I've got a friend who just locally has opened up a place, and I went to spoke with him, and he said that the reason that he's on Cleveland Street is he's dealing with the apartment complex and not the city, because when he wanted to move into a different area, people told him, listen, you don't want to deal with the city of Clearwater.
Hmm.
You just don't want to do it. Either go to Dunedin or Safety Harbor or something like that. So, you know, I'm starting to wonder. I know there's a lot of empty entities around, and all I hear is, well, Scientology and whatever. I'm wondering, is it really?
Right.
Or the fact that these, you know, they're covering for the people that don't want to deal. I mean, I can remember the first week that I worked here back in 2005, I think it was, or six. And at the end of the street, a guy opens up a beautiful tackle shop. Beautiful tackle shop in that horrible area that's right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a beautiful mural on the side, painted mural.
Yes.
And the city comes by and tells him, you got to paint over it because technically it's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you go through COVID, you think that some of the restrictions like sandwich signs or something like that to help businesses out to attract people, something like those would have been lifted or eased a little bit, but they just don't work with you. They've got a line, and either you're on that side or you're on that side. If you're on that side and you don't come on, you're fine. You're on that side and you're fine.
Yeah.
But
well, hopefully Ryan can be a
we need something.
Someone who
some
can
change.
Streamline
for sure.
things, and that's what's important.
And that's one of the main issues that I'm running on, you know, is to make sure that bureaucratic red tape can kind of at least be held.
Sure.
Holding Jennifer accountable
it.
To make sure that things are becoming more efficient and people want to, move their businesses
here. And one
here.
Of the other things, too, is when they're not to code or do something like that, is to help them find the answers, not just say, we'll see you in a week.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, maybe direct, hey, maybe you should go to this guy. And it would help you out with that problem you've got working there.
Yeah, don't
Instead
pass
of
them.
We'll see you in a week, and if you don't have it done, then we're going
to
find you.
Yeah. And I think we have to update our codes and standards, too. You know, I was talking to a resident walking and knocking neighborhoods, and he showed me on the side of his house, well, a picture, because he had to take it down, of this nice awning to cover his boat that was on the side of his house. And it looked great. It looked fantastic. It was really well done. And, his city inspector stopped him, said, hey, you got to take that down or it'll be fine. And then you go around the rest of his neighborhood, and there's people that have, you know, broken down cars in certain areas, you know, or things like that. And he's like,
oil
why do these people
the
constantly get away with this? But I spent time taking care of my things. You know, there has to be an update to our codes or something, or at least, you know, that empathy. If it's looking good, who's complaining about it? Mm-hmm. You know, that type of a thing.
It's true. But on the other side of the coin, it is.
You do have to have the rules and the structure.
You have to have certain guidelines. But Clearwater is a magnet. A lot of people want to come here and live here for a variety of reasons. And perfection is never reached. But it's good that you have the goal in mind to give it the old effort, and it's also brings us to the next question, which is what are some of your goals? What are things that you would take on if you became elected?
For sure. So aside from trying to get that bureaucratic red tape out of the way, one of my biggest ones is making sure that our critical infrastructure is well funded and taken care of. And I think that comes from one of my positions at the fire department as well. I'm our emergency management coordinator. I went up to Emmitsburg, Maryland, took some classes up there through DHS and FEMA. And I'm a certified instructor to teach courses, you know, to those government officials to be brought up to speed on how the incident command structure system works and those types of things. And then I also deal directly with FEMA and the Florida Department of Emergency Management when storms come. And I get all of the nation's after action reports specifically,
That would be
in Florida.
Definite advantage.
For sure. And you see these after action reports. You know, when Idalia skirted our coast by 100 miles or so, we had 12 pumping stations in the county go online. And one had a critical failure, just completely went offline. And I think it was two or three of them. I can't remember now. I believe it was three, went on generator power, you know, to try and keep our coastal communities without that flooding. And then you see that now on Cooper's Point over in the Del Oro neighborhood on the east end and then North Beach, it's just a typical thunderstorm will come through and these people are getting flooded out of their streets. Something definitely has to be done. And I know that there's resiliency grants. I know that there's these things that are out there just being in that position with my fire department. And I actually just got an email about a week, 2 weeks ago where it was resiliency grants. I clicked on it, and sure enough, there was something like $300 million available to municipalities if they put a grant together and ask for the money.
Wow.
You know, so it's working with the federal government, working with the state to try and offset the cost to the taxpayers here, because there are things that we can take advantage of. So I literally took that email, forwarded the link directly to the city, because it's things that they should be working on. Shouldn't have to take a citizen to find it. But hopefully in council spot, knowing those types of things are there, if I find it, I can just shoot it right to Jennifer and get this ball rolling to where, because they're talking even on North Beach, the project costing $65 to $100 million. Well, if we're able to get some money from that grant, you know, and maybe even the state to offset that, perfect, you know.
That's huge for sure. And you've done a little bit of spade work in terms of going around and talking to the different department heads, have you not?
For sure. So, yep, I've been with the Housing Economic Development. I've been with planning, the police chief, the city manager, and the city attorney. Mm-hmm. So, yep, starting to knock my way through it when not knocking on doors or trying to meet residents at events and whatnot. So, for sure.
How do you like campaigning?
It has been very unique. Mm-hmm. I like the relationship building. I like meeting new people, understanding their points of view and what drives them, if you will. I call it playing the game, right? So seeing how you can build a relationship and then work with that person towards a common goal. So it's been very fun in a unique way. You know, you call me crazy for getting into this, but I think that's how I see it as being fun, is building those relationships to try and to make that positive goal or impact for everybody.
Right, and I, you know, being an oldster myself, I almost hate bringing this up, but we do need some young blood, too, on the council.
For sure. Well,
thank you for that. And I'll tell you, knocking on doors, that's what I keep hearing. You know, it's refreshing, or young blood, new perspective. Sure. Mm-hmm. I had one guy run out to his car. He took my card, and then he goes, wait 1 second. Ran in his house, grabbed his keys, came back out, and he gives me this sticker, and he says, anyone under 80 for 2024, and I just started cracking up so much. And it's actually back on my cabinet at my house and in the garage.
Funny.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I think that the sentiment to have younger emerging leadership come is being felt.
And
I think
that's
started from 2019 on to now. You're seeing younger leaders start to fill roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, after all, really being in politics as well as almost any other profession is, it's not how good your computers are. It's not how your this works or that works or how modern your furniture is, et cetera. It's dealing with people.
That's it.
It's how do you motivate people? How do you get into someone's head without pissing them off?
Yep.
How do you find the right buttons to push to get the most out of people? And that's how people stay at a job, even for less money.
Yep.
Sometimes, because they are motivated. They feel good about their position. And it doesn't matter what their position is. It can be the lowest person on the totem pole.
Yep.
But if you let them know that you feel that they're a part of...
They're valued.
Well, that's huge.
Exactly.
And it's flattening the organization. What's our overall goal and how did they fit into it?
Yes.
Right. And once they know their importance in the overall goal or mission...
Mm-hmm.
That's where they get their drive or their why, if you will, right? That makes them want to keep coming back and doing the best they can. So trying to motivate that and get that out of people, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, you've been knocking on doors.
Yeah.
And you've been sending out mailers.
Yes. Yep.
Not to give away any campaign secrets, but do you have any particular general plans in the ensuing? There's only, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yes, March 19th.
March 19th.
So we're within the third week coming up, It's going to be here quicker than we know it.
So it's you got to have a good end game, just like in chess.
For sure, yep. And we do have a strategy. I'm not going to go into it.
Oh, no, no. I wouldn't want you to do that.
No, I hear you, but we do. We have a good strategy going forward. And I tell you what, it's these forums that we've been doing, you know, in front of the people or going into the HOAs.
How many have there been now? Eight?
There have been eight done. I think we have one more official one, which I did just get another email about one on March 12th. This is just a regular group, you know, but it's good to go out and meet people.
Absolutely.
Especially, you know, I want to say that it's been very beneficial when both my opponents have been there, you know. So I look forward to that and engaging with people while they're there as well. So it's been great. You get to build those relationships and hopefully push this thing over the finish line for a win come March 19th.
Has the family been, how have they been taking your desire to serve the public? How do they feel about that?
Very good. At first, my dad had the exact same thing that you said. You're crazy. Why are you going to want to do this?
Have you lost your mind?
That's it, essentially, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, it's that quote that nobody really knows who said it, but all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to stand by and do nothing. So that, with the little frustrations that have mounted, you know, I think that it's an important thing, and it's to do this for the short-term gains, but also for the generational gains, because I want my kids to grow up here. I want my children's children to grow up here. So I'm not thinking about just how to take care of Clearwater and its residents and businesses now. I want to look to the future, too, and how do we just make this place the best place in Pinellas County and sustain it and make sure that it stays on that positive track? Yeah. And it's for them, really. So the family's been taking it great, you know, especially when they enjoy the sports that the kids are into, you know.
Oh,
I get
sure.
my sister's taking my daughter to cheerleading. They love it. They get to interact, and it's honestly good for them to build the relationship with their niece or nephew, so it's been going really well.
Good, good. You know, you want to have that support from
Absolutely.
Your family for sure, and they have to understand that, you know, daddy and hubby are not going to be around it, right, as they usually are. You're out knocking on doors.
For sure.
Meeting people, going on forums, etc.
I try and take little man out there. He likes doing it, actually. Sometimes he's more personable than me. He'll give everybody a nice handshake.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, that's
great.
That's
really good.
It is, yep. He's very, very well-mannered. So.
That's good. Do you have any pets?
I do. So I have how old is he now? He's got to be 13. 13-year-old German Shepherd. Bear. He's great. And then we have a 10-year-old wiener dog or dachshund. So very different
that's
breeds. Different offsets.
That's for sure.
But yeah, we have two animals. We have a chinchilla and a chameleon as well.
Very good. Oh, you don't have a cockatoo or a tarantula?
No birds. No. We do have a dead tarantula in the window glass, you know, because my little boy, I'm sure he's going to go into something with animals. Loves animals, loves fishing, loves doing all that. So getting out there and trying to be in the wilderness with him eats it up.
In 30 seconds or less, what are your favorite things you like to do? Hobby-wise.
Favorite things I like to do. Okay, hobby-wise, when I get out there, I do like to golf. Mm-hmm. I like to fish. I like to spear fish.
Mm-hmm. Are you certified scuba diver?
I am. I am nitrox diver, yes. Mm-hmm. And then wakeboard, surf. Man, let's go. We got more time. What else do I like to do?
This might be
a little off one, but I used to do competitive three-gun shooting. So action pistol, rifle, and shotgun with my dad. We would travel, and that's something fun, too.
Very nice. Well, Kel, it's going to be rather easy. Why don't we thank our guest?
Well, we had one, Ryan Cotton. He's the candidate for Clearwater City Council seat 2.
It's easy to remember that that name for sure. And do you have a verse for us this week?
I do.
Go for it.
Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Very, very good. And always remember this. No matter what happens, keep a smile on your face. Be positive, and good things will happen and come your way. Thanks again. We'll see you next week on The Kelly Kelly Show.